Well, hello everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another edition of This Week in Music Videos, the podcast where we talk about music videos, goings on, comings and goings. This podcast is brought to you by your super good friends, imvdb.com, the Internet Music Video Database. My name is Adam, and with us, as usual, in his chilly, cavernous Brooklyn apartment, is Mr. Doug Klinger. Doug, what's going on?
I'm doing super good, Adam. I'd be in the kitchen with the wrist motion.
Is that from the Drake?
Yeah!
Yeah, there we go. He talks a lot about...
The six!
He talks a lot about chefs and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm hearing a lot of chef innuendo and rap lately, anyway.
It's not just lately, but it's... It refers... Because you can cook a lot of things.
Yeah.
It could refer to cooking drugs. It can refer to just, like, cooking up your music. Or it can refer to cooking up Adam Alexander.
Oh, there's so many things to talk about there. But we have, of course, from north of the wall, 17 degrees below zero Celsius, which is a combination of Celsius and Fahrenheit. From Fringe Music Fix, we have Mr. Adam Alexander. Adam, how are you?
I'm great. I'm just cropping pictures of crop circles in Photoshop. Hmm.
Weird. Did you write that?
No, I literally am cropping pictures of crop circles.
Tight. What is the temperature in Canada right now?
I'm not sure. I think Adam got it exactly. He nailed it.
That's
the exact temperature.
Adam, I want you to give us your favorite chef or cooking themed rap line.
Ooh,
rap. Well, my favorite chef is the Swedish Chef, but I don't think he raps.
No,
I have no chef rap lines.
You can't think of any rap lines that are about cooking or chefing,
like a legit rap line that someone has rapped. No, I don't know any lyrics.
So I think that there's a good one from the... For some reason, I listened to Birthday Song by 2 Chainz today, and he has the line, I'm in the kitchen, yams everywhere, which, of course, yams are some sort of drug thing. But then there was the Young Thug Old English song that just came out a few weeks ago, where he's talking about a couple hundred onions, which apparently is a drug thing, too. But then he says... Cutting down chicken nuggets for my Cutlass, which is a car, but in the Rough Mercy directed video, which is all like animation, at that point he says cluckers, when I think it's ASAP Ferg or whoever says Cutlass. And I don't know why he does that, because those words are like now like completely reversed in my mind. Did you guys remember that?
Anyway. I think he did it for that.
I think he
reason.
Did it because it's
onions,
really...
I think yeah. The fuck with just you, yeah. onions probably mean ounces, would be my guess. That's how I use it.
Reading the Rap Genius for that video or for that song is brought a whole, whole bunch of new things into my lexicon.
So now when you try to buy an ounce of drugs, do you say, let me get an onion?
Yeah, I said I need to chop it down for my cluckers.
So yeah, when you chop down an onion, you're like chopping it down so you can distribute. You like break it down so you can sell it
for my cluckers. Yeah,
yeah, cluckers, chicken heads.
This went off the rails very quickly.
This the beginning of this show always goes off the rails at the beginning. That's what This Week in Music Videos is. It should be called This Week in Music Videos after 20 minutes of who knows what.
Yeah, so ostensibly we're here to talk about some music videos. Music video news, music video goings on.
And is there any music video news this week? Not that I know of.
Not too much, but some of it is a little kind of... self-centered because this week we've been releasing some of I think the best, not to diminish any of the audio commentaries we've done thus far, but these are absolutely stunning audio commentaries by Mr. Director David Wilson, who we talked about on the podcast last week, who wore high heels to the Grammys with Jason Baum, who was on the podcast the week before that. Sent us a whole mess of audio commentaries, and we've been putting them up this week.
Racks on racks of audio commentaries.
They're just so good, and I've been like just thoroughly enjoying each one of those.
This is such like a self-centered feature that we've made, this commentary feature, because I feel like I visit it all, like I listen to them all the time. I'm like it's what is my favorite thing, way to find out about music videos. Followed closely by this podcast.
Well, we should talk a little bit about the feature, I guess, because I mean, some people might not know about it. Because it's like it's. I would agree too. It's one of my favorites. And Adam Alexander, it's your favorite, right?
The future?
The what?
Help me out. You lost me. The feature.
The feature. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Of course. Love the commentary.
Where did you go, Adam?
Yeah,
where
you went to another.
The future.
I think you went to the future.
I broke down. I don't know.
So the comment. So basically. We love audio commentaries for music videos. And back in the day, I mean, like 10 years ago, it was very, very briefly a thing for bands to release DVDs where they would do audio commentaries on their music videos. I don't know if you guys remember this? Like Weezer's video capture device had great band audio commentaries for all their videos.
I never saw that. Isn't there a Noel Gallagher one?
There is, yeah, that came out recently.
Like famous, like internet on the internet.
Yeah, where he was, yeah, we should link to that. That's a great audio commentary of where he's just like watching all his old videos from the 90s and just like ripping
just
them apart.
Shitting on them. Yeah,
he hates them. He hates music videos.
But director commentaries are very common for films, obviously, but like very, very rare. For music videos, like before we made this feature, I don't think I'd ever even really seen like one or two. Sometimes people would like make like record an audio track and like slap it on an existing video and then upload that, you know, to Vimeo or YouTube sometimes, and that was fine. But this is a feature where we sync up an audio file with the YouTube video. And play them at the same time. So
it's a very IMDb feature. Like it's like I feel like it's the soul of IMDb is in that feature. Because it takes a problem and fixes it with love.
So we have been putting up some great commentaries. One of them for We Exist by Arcade Fire, which is just a phenomenal commentary. And,
recent, which is the video that David was nominated for a Grammy for, which is why he was able to be on the Grammy red carpet in a plum suit and high heels.
Exactly. And then another one, which is really great, which I learned a lot from actually, is the Do I Want to Know by Arctic Monkeys video that he did a fantastic commentary for.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
I love that video. I got to listen to that one.
Yeah, it's really...
Yeah, you're going to love it.
He talks about how the origins of that video are for a background he was
for
making.
Like a concert background.
For Glastonbury, the Glastonbury Festival in the UK. Really, really interesting. So David Wilson, thank you so much for all these amazing commentaries. And you can see them at imvdb.com/commentaries.
Along with hundreds of others from other great... directors and artists and producers and DPs.
Hundreds of others, correct. So this week in music videos, I think it was a relatively quiet week in terms of like huge videos coming out, but this was a fantastic week for, I think, both really odd stuff, kind of people pushing the boundaries and trying new things, which is always an exciting week. There was a lot of things where I kind of like had to do a double take in a way. It's kind of tough to where to start. We should start with the most recent one, which just came out today that everyone was talking about, and that is the Sleater-Kinney video for A New Wave. Doug, I think you tweeted about this video or staff picked it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so I wasn't able to find a specific director for this video, but clearly whoever directed it is probably involved with Bob's Burgers, because essentially it's an animated music video that takes place within the world of Bob's Burgers, the Fox television show starring H. John Benjamin. And basically the Tina character, who's like the older daughter in the family, just like puts on a CD, and Sleater-Kinney just appear in her room and rock out, start to play this song, A New Wave, which is the song that they kind of, like, when they first performed on Letterman, it was this song, and they kind of, like, rocked the house. Would you say they rocked the house, Adam Alexander, when they played A New Wave?
Definitely rocked the house.
You got an Adam Alexander rocked the house approval.
Which is kind of weird that David Letterman is the place where you rock the house now. I mean,
you can do that
Letterman's become such a weird show.
Yeah.
I'm all right with where Letterman's at right now. Like, this is a cool thing where he's like, he's leaving. He just has all these crazy bands on. And
I think it was just late last year. He had like a cartoon perform some music, which is crazy. It was like a Japanese pop star, and they had like a holographic cartoon on stage. That's Letterman now.
He's just like, let whoever books his music acts, he's just letting him loose. And he like loves it though. Every time he's like really stoked. He's like, J. Cole, yes, like so stoked on like J. Cole's like really weird, like stripped back performance. Yeah, no, he
really loved the Future Islands performance when they were on.
Yeah,
he loved it.
I think I just said performancing.
That was like a career making performance for them, really.
It was.
I remember that performance got so much buzz, not because, I mean, it was a great performance, but like because Dave Letterman was so enthusiastic about him.
Yeah, right.
But then
it kind of went.
I haven't seen. What'd you say?
It went Mimi.
I'm sorry I let you say that again. So fucking dumb. Sorry, it wasn't that bad. So anyway, bringing it back around to this music video. So Sleater-Kinney is performing in Tina's room, and then eventually her two siblings come running in the room, and which is Jean and
Louise.
Come running in the room and start dancing as well. We get a quick shot downstairs
at Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers and Lois. Lois is the wife's name, right?
I think so.
You get a little shot of them. No dialogue in the whole thing, so they didn't have to bring any of the voice actors out for this. But it gets like kind of trippy. It's not just them like it is kind of them dancing the whole time, the kids. But it gets pretty like trippy and weird at moments. And very stylized, and it was just like I thought it was a fun video. Yeah, I thought it was one, you know, definitely worth highlighting. There is an interesting thing, and I'm not really sure what this is about. It says in the YouTube title "official video," but then in the thumbnail it says "not the video." I'm gonna just leave that one alone. This is clearly a music video, unless this like at some point happens in an episode of Bob's Burgers. But I really am curious to kind of – I wonder because everyone who kind of wrote about this video today just wrote about its existence and what happens in it. Nobody had like any kind of background knowledge on it. And I saw kind of, you know, writers from Bob's Burgers tweeting it in kind of just general ways. And I also saw, you know, the members of Sleater-Kinney kind of thanking in, you know, over like – thank you, the team behind Bob's Burgers for this. So, like, there are no specific, but you know, obviously Carrie is a big, like, is deeply embedded into the comedy world now after, you know, several years of Portlandia, and you know, so it's not a surprise that this is the type of thing. The last Sleater-Kinney video was like full of alternative comedy stars, which is, you know, a lot, which is like compiled. Which, you know, the voices behind Bob's Burgers come from that community as well. So this isn't a surprising connection, but I am like curious how it came about. Because this is clearly not like fan drawn stuff. Like this was clearly the animators behind the show making this video.
And I think there's a character connection as well, because Tina, I don't know if she's listened to Sleater-Kinney on the show, but she definitely would listen to Sleater-Kinney. So I thought that was so cool. Just that whole idea.
What makes you say that?
Because Tina's character is kind of like a bit of a feminist character, and like a girl rock group would be just a thing that Tina would rock out to. I'm pretty sure she's listened to like some riot punk bands before.
Would you call Tina a feminist as much as she like fawns over boys?
Well, feminists can still do that.
It's a slippery road, boys.
We're going to stop right here.
We won't go there.
I guess I'm not saying that you can't be a feminist and fawn over boys. I guess I just wouldn't. That wouldn't be the first word I would use to describe Tina. Awkward would come first. Angsty.
I mean, I guess I just see her loving a girl rock group. Maybe totally. That
makes a lot more how sense. I should you don't frame have it. To invoke the word feminist.
One thing that really surprised me at this video is, so my wife is a huge Bob's Burgers fan. She was Louise for Halloween.
What were you?
I was Bob. For some reason,
I love how you would have just left that right.
Yeah,
out.
I would have left that right.
You
also
dressed up like a Bob's Burgers character.
We had to dress up, so I dressed up. She had the pointy. Louise is a good costume. You know the pointy bunny ears or whatever.
It's very easily recognizable.
Easily recognizable. Yeah, some costumes. You know, like if you dressed up as Tina. You put a blue shirt on.
Wouldn't
blue
be as easy.
Exactly. So
unless you're like part of a Bob's Burgers.
Exactly. You're
then
going to
it's
Bob's
like,
Burgers
oh, then there's the Tina, and all you need to have is like a blue shirt.
So I was. I got home and I was like, oh, there's a Bob's Burgers music video with Sleater-Kinney, the girl from Portlandia, because we watched Portlandia, and we sat down and watched it, and I hadn't seen it before, and I was just surprised at how, like. Usually, animated videos are not performance videos. Like, if you look at a Venn diagram of that stuff, it's a very thin overlap between animated videos and performance videos. And this video is almost all performance videos and like animation cycles for the three characters.
It doesn't seem like there was very much. Like they did. Like I feel like this was a favor.
Yeah, and you could tell that
the Burgers guy did, like, they just, like, let the characters be in it.
And you could tell that they were super excited about animating, the three members of Sleater-Kinney, because they get, like, full-on tons of angles and tons of, you know, interesting things going on. And then, like, what's the boy's name?
Gene
is basically seen doing one thing, and that is a dance that is cycled through. So,
and it's a dance that he's done on the
Truffle Shuffle.
Yeah,
like
he's done that dance a million times on Bob's Burgers. They didn't have to animate anything new for Gene. That they had all that Gene animation ready to go.
It was a good video.
Oh, it's definitely fun. And like these kids dance on the show. Like dancing is an element, and the music in Bob's Burgers is fantastic too. It's all like produced for the show, but it's all really like weird and great. But these kids like dance around. Gene's a musician. Mm-hmm. Tina is like very big into dancing with Jimmy Jr. and none of us watch this show. And Tina, you know, she's a kid. I mean, the other one, she dances around too. Anyway, dance. It's a fun video though, despite like the simplicity. But yes, I was very surprised. Like, if you compare this to the day, like we talked about the David Wilson commentaries, many of David Wilson's videos are animated or feature animation heavily in them. You know, the complexity of the animation in those David Wilson videos and like the depths in which that animation goes is like it's crazy compared to this one. Like this is certainly not like a traditional animated video, and why should it be? It's Bob's Burgers characters, so it's fun. I think it was like super effective. The only way like this could have been more effective is if like they did, if it was like 12 minutes, it had like 4 minutes of narrative on each side of the song. And, you know, they like wrote a mini Bob's Burgers episode for this. That's the only way that people could have gotten like more excited than they already were for this.
I love the little bit in the middle where the camera kind of takes us downstairs where Bob is frying some burgers. And like there's little pieces of ceiling falling on his head because the kids are like jumping out of bed. That was cool.
I think that's the point that like more of that was probably not really just like in the scope of what this project was.
Right.
But because like at that moment I thought like, oh, if we're going to hear a voice, it's going to be now. Maybe they got John Benjamin to, you know, get mad or something. But yeah, we didn't get any of that.
Now, speaking of girl groups, we had another girl group release a music video this week. Somebody who maybe you have forgotten about, but guess what? They're back. That is Pussy Riot. And the song is I Can't Breathe, and the video was directed by them. Came out yesterday, so Wednesday. And we have seen a lot of, like... So, if you have seen a lot of Pussy Riot stuff, or have seen any Pussy Riot stuff, I think the stuff that comes to mind most quickly is them in their ski masks, their colored ski masks. And almost everything... Hey. What's that?
Pink is like the predominant color, though, right?
Pink and blue, yeah.
Neon colors.
Yeah.
Ranged.
Girly colors. And
feminist colors.
Feminist colors. All right,
let's, exactly. We won't do either of that. We won't call them girly either.
No, we definitely have to say that they are, without a shadow of a doubt, feminists. We're going to use it this
time.
Yeah,
I think
I don't think we should label anybody.
No, they definitely are. They will say that, we have
That's
to
fine,
label
but
that.
We don't need to say it for them.
So I think the most one of the interesting things about this is if you have seen a previous Pussy Riot video, whether music video or just video, it's very, like, amateur style. Handheld cameras, not very high production values. A lot of them are like documentary style, showing them in real life situations.
A lot of that is by necessity, right? They're
Correct.
Like doing it in places that are like they shouldn't be doing what they're doing, and so they're forced to kind of like.
I think what you're trying
aren't
to say.
They, like, ripped out of like some of the other ones and stuff, like literally like forcefully stopped from filming
right.
them other times. Yeah.
But just maybe what we have to mention, which goes in with that, is that they're a protest rock group. They're very politically loaded, and they have these messages behind everything that they do. So like you said, Doug, they're often doing things in protest and being
yes.
places where they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is their first definitely their first English music video. I believe it might be their first song in English as well. And it is in protest of the Eric Gardner decision in New York City, the lack of an indictment of a police officer who killed him and it choked him to death. And in this video, they are being buried, and it's pretty hard. Like, it's all one shot. You know, it starts at their feet and kind of pans up to their faces, and then they're covered in this really like super dark, like almost like soot dirt, and it seems really like uncomfortable what's happening to them, and it's all one take, and it like feels like it would be difficult to breathe in what they're doing.
So yeah, you guys are better at the technical part of a video. Do you guys have any idea how they did this? How they shot this video? They didn't just bury them.
No, I think they just buried them. Obviously. Mean, it's super slow motion, so it's happening a lot faster than, you know, the length of this video. So I think they did.
It's medium slow motion. I mean, slow down a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Did I say super slow motion? It's not that. But like, it's not 5 minutes of them being buried. It's probably like
right.
two.
I actually felt like. Maybe it was in reverse. I don't know why I thought that, but looking at the way the dirt falls onto them, it kind of looked like it might have been in reverse. And I wondered if they like sucked the dirt up off of them and reversed it. I don't know. I'm crazy.
I think you might be crazy.
I think you might be crazy, Adam, for that one, because they're definitely shoveling dirt onto them at some point. I feel like, you know. The thing that kind of shocked me about this video was like how American centric it was. Eric Garner is an American, you know, happened in New York, American, you know, political issue. I'm not sure how much it is known around the world. And this song is in English. So it's very, very much targeted toward American audience. And also the very, very high production values, which I don't think we're used to seeing with Pussy Riot, and
nor
their faces at all, exactly. And we see two of the members, because there's many members of Pussy Riot, and their names are, I'm gonna butcher both of these, Maria Alyonkina and Znadezla. So yeah, you can go to articles and read what their names are. They're too complicated to pronounce, but yeah, their faces are right there, and they're totally buried. So I think it was unexpected and an interesting move by them.
And there are one, in addition to just like dirt and shovels and them in there, there are also cigarettes, which are also tied to Eric Gardner was accused of selling loose cigarettes, which is why.
That's a good catch. Yeah.
Yeah. Why the police were allegedly talking to him in the first place was because they claimed he was selling loose cigarettes. So that's kind of what that element is there too. It's very like, this video was all over the place. It is very interesting that they chose. I mean, it's still a very recent situation, and it's very interesting that this is, you know, what they've decided, when like basically a lot, like so much of what they were about was like Russian related things. It is interesting that this is what they, but it's certainly not out of character at all.
But I wonder if it like makes it. So the thing that I think a lot of people who are like casual observers of Pussy Riot knew, that like the things that you knew were like, okay, they're on our side, I guess. Like, you should like Pussy Riot, even if you didn't understand the complex like Russian political intricacies. Like, you were
right,
like,
right. You assume that they like, you probably believe in what they are talking about, even if you have no idea what
it
is.
It was like, Pussy Riot. You're like, yeah, you're supposed to like Pussy Riot. And then, like, it's just interesting that they decide to insert themselves into a very, very, like, still to this day. I mean, obviously not like Eric Garner isn't in the headlines anymore, but
So get ready to be aware of that. I think that that's so, you know, I feel like the fact that we know about Pussy Riot, but that don't know about the politics behind Pussy Riot makes this completely like make complete sense that they're doing this. And I also think that like this is an issue that, you know, you can certainly have an opinion on, even if you're not in America. And, you know, I don't think there's anything like wrong with like showing that this is like a global issue. I think, you know, it kind of just enforces that. I think it can be effective if they are trying to make like a political statement with this video, which they clearly are. Like, I think it can be effective, and yeah, they can like force people who were like blindly behind them to be like, all right, well, like now that like you understand this, like if you don't agree with us now, like you're making people kind of like confront that more. Is I'm all right with that.
Maybe we should go into some lighter fare.
Well, that's fine. I think it's really funny that you came to Pussy Riot and like technically they are a girl group, but that's a funny way that I feel like that's, when I think girl group, I don't think people who are going to make, you know, like strong political statements, but maybe that's because I have a problem.
I think you might have a problem. I think that, so there's,
I don't mean that, I just mean the term girl group has a connotation, not girl groups having a connotation, but girl group seems to mean like a boy band means like a bunch of teenagers,
right?
Like a girl group is the equivalent of boy band.
No, I think that's,
I don't think that.
I agree with Adam. Yeah,
I think so. Just like
any group of any band that is all females is a girl group.
I feel like a lot of
depends on the style of music. So did they just, before we jump videos, did they just bury them really quick and then dig them up and then slow it down? Is that what they did?
Yes. So they tilt back down to their feet before the video ends. So when they tilt back down to their feet, like they could have come back up out of the dirt, out of frame. And they're also like, they're not like, they're not like crazy covered. Like their faces are completely covered in, like they're completely under the dirt, and they're probably holding their breath so you don't see the dirt moving if they tried to breathe. But you know, they're covered in dirt, and then and then they tilt down, and then potentially also on the pan down, I suppose that could there be a cut? I guess they don't really pan fast enough for there to be a cut. But kind of once they pan down, there is like time for them to just kind of be removed from frame completely. So removed from the room, the area completely. So
cool, that makes sense. That's why the dirt was moving weird. It was slowed down. You helped me. Let's talk about Black Taxi.
No, hold on. We need to talk a little bit about girl groups for just a second, because they're definitely not the polar opposite of a boy band.
Listen, I was just saying that that's what I thought it meant, but I could be wrong. I'm fine with being wrong.
I think every girl group, they all have some sort of political undertones to them, or at least like messaging undertones. I think
I don't
like,
know that they all do. All
right,
I think they do. Like,
you guys are all right.
Here's what I think.
You're both generalists.
A girl group means something different to all of us, and that's okay, and that's all right.
Well, take two opposite extremes, I think, or three opposite extremes.
Slater-Kinney and Spice Girls.
I was gonna say Spice Girls, as well as like Fifth Harmony, who you know I would classify as a girl group. I would not classify them as overtly political, but their songs often have a very girl power bent. Girl power being something that is like has political undertones, but is like repackaged as
is
something less political. Anyway,
is Destiny's Child a girl group?
I think Destiny's Child would be a girl, but remember they had like you know a song called "Independent Women."
It's, sure. It, okay. It's,
yeah.
What about
to name me one boy group
Hanson.
Song.
Wait, is Hanson is boys? Is Pussycat Dolls a girl group?
I think Pussycat Girls is a girl group, and I don't know any other songs, but I bet if we dug a little further, we'd find some sort of.
Their songs are like "Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Was Hot Like Me."
Yeah, a little female empowerment song.
That's female empowerment is calling your girlfriend not hot.
In 1998, it was though.
I didn't think girl group had anything to do with politics. I don't think any boy band is talking about politics.
Not politics. Like, by the way, you should definitely get out and vote.
But not even like taking a political stance. What political stance did Backstreet Boys take besides like everybody should rock their body?
That's the point. There's no like agenda for the Backstreet Boys. Like, they're not trying to. There's no boy power songs, right? But look on the the cover of the cover of the Spice Girls song cover she did. I can't believe I'm blanking on this. Say You'll Be There, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a picture of Mo when she was a kid with her you know girlfriends, I guess, like acting like the Spice Girls, and it says written on it, "Remember girl power." I mean, that's more than anything that anybody takes away from the Spice Girls. That's like. And that is a political message at the very heart of it, even if it is like an entertaining political message.
I'm not saying that the Spice Girls weren't political. That I or taking a stance. That's not what I was questioning. I was questioning that was a prerequisite to being in a girl group. Like there are like female artists who have come together as a band to sing that don't take a political stance or at all, just kind of like sing about baby and like love
and the 8 days of Christmas.
Yeah, and are they still a girl group to you? To you
they
guys?
Are. Okay, I get it. All right, I'm wrong. Let's talk about. I'm tired talking about this.
Dumb thing that we just did.
I want to talk about this Taylor Swift video, though. Style video.
Okay. Oh, so we're gonna dip back. So yeah, we are pulling because there were some big name videos that didn't come out last week when we had the podcast. Two big videos from late last week, or just one, and that's Taylor Swift. So let's talk about it.
Well, last week I think we knew it was coming out on Friday. and we were looking at it and trying to, there were some stills that had been released, but it had not been released. It was released the next day.
So yeah, let's shit about it now. 19 million views later.
The name of the song is Style by Taylor Swift, directed by Kyle Newman. When this video came out, I was tweeting some stills from it, like kind of making fun of it a little bit because it was so artsy fartsy. I hadn't seen it with the sound yet. But I was just sort of scrubbing through, and if you scrub through this video with no context or no song, it's just like the artsiest fartsiest stuff, like her like holding up a piece of glass with a dude's eyes in it, her like having stuff projected on her, like all sorts of stuff that you kind of that in my mind immediately makes me go to that place. But upon watching it with the song, I feel like it makes a lot more sense to me.
Which typically will happen in a music video.
It's not always. this is one where I feel like the two halves can't, like, this video can't really exist without this song. They're so important to each other. So I thought this was great. I think Kyle Newman did a really fantastic job with this video because it's a very personal video. This is, weirdly enough, even though it's an artsy video, I think it's one of the first times that we're seeing Taylor Swift sexualized. We have we've gone very, very close. We've never seen Taylor Swift overtly sexualized in the way that Ariana Grande is.
And what moments are you referring to as just the fact that she doesn't like appear to have a shirt on?
There's some risque outfits in this, but there are hints of that knowingness in the song. But then, you know, in the beginning,
the dude is dressed down, she is.
And she's feeling him up in a major way as well.
She's getting a good grip.
Yeah, she's getting a good grip. It gets pretty sexy. Yeah,
get you going. You get you excited. I thought so. I like this video. The images are very like derivative of like what's going on in this video is not like brand new for music videos. Like all of those things that you were drawn to that you thought were like artsy fartsy and silly, like, have existed in indie music videos for years now. But I think this video is
enough. I see like 10 videos with these things in it a day,
right?
And I love most of them.
So I think this video though is another example of, you know, big pop stars like reaching back into like indie inspired kind of imagery and bringing them up into the, you know, into their world. You know, like we talked about last year, like happening, like starting to see a lot more last year and some the year before. I think this is an example of that because you don't see stuff like this in Taylor Swift music videos. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that this is like a very kind of like emotional song. And I think this is like indie videos feel more intimate than big pop videos do. And so using those as like kind of a reference point and a starting place makes sense for this song.
Yeah, you kind of turned me on this one a little. I wasn't a huge fan once I saw it, but when we talked, Doug, that stuff kind of made sense to me. That's a good place for her to draw from that kind of indie style video. It's great. It works. It's good. It's a good pool to draw from.
I like.
Do you guys not agree this is a sexy video?
Oh, it's sexy.
Yeah, because she's like talking.
I'm feeling it.
That's yeah. Adam and I are both feeling it today.
Yeah, do you guys need a sec?
I think we might. Yeah. So perverts. Adam, what about? So she's talking about like how all the stuff she likes about the dude, and then she's talking about she's kind of admitting all the sexy stuff about her, which is in and itself I found pretty sexy.
Yeah, but it really she just hasn't met me yet.
That's, right. Yeah. That's what's well, going I think. On in there. I think at the end she's like, "Well, if I ever met anybody that lists, you know, really does it for me, then I'll kind of leave this guy." He is pretty. The dude is pretty ripped, though.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's a stylish boy too.
Who do you think this? Do you think this is about Harry Styles?
Yeah, it is for sure about Harry.
That's what I was saying. A stylish boy
mentioned it.
Oh, this is about Harry Styles?
Yeah.
She dated Harry Styles?
Yeah.
She did.
Did she date Nelly?
She might have.
She dated John Mayer, too, for a while, which always kind of weirded me out. And John Mayer's song Paper Doll is about. It's about Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I never really know. Like, if the tabloids say they're dating, I never know if that's for real.
That's usually for real, I think.
I don't know. I don't really know.
I mean, it's really something, but is it genuine? Is it a publicity stunt? I never know either.
I don't know if anything's real though. Like,
I think it's real.
Right. I have issues with just like reality. I have issues with reality. Are you guys even real? is this it, so like are we do like Because if this was an indie, it's interesting though. If this was an indie music video, I wouldn't give it a second look. I wouldn't finish.
Really?
I wouldn't watch it to the end.
It would get lost in the shuffle. There's too many videos like it.
It would.
It would just blend right in. Yeah, I'd still like it, but I wouldn't be like, "Wow, I've never seen that before."
Like, I think this is Chris Black would call this full of like a lot of indie music video tropes, right? Like there are a lot of those things that you see in a lot of this, you know, like a lot of
kids in the forest.
White kids in the forest, and that happens in this video. That she's in the float, but there's like those smoke bombs, and definitely like the projection on the projection mapped faces. Like you see that. If this was like some, you know, singer songwriter that I've never heard of, and this was their like the first music video I saw from them, I wouldn't be stoked on it. But I feel like for Taylor Swift,
yeah,
knowing the bat like her other music videos, I feel like the context of this video makes me like it more.
And I think that's what you have to do. You have to say, how does this compare to her other videos? It's well executed, and it's not like her other videos. So it's a win, I think.
And Taylor Swift can do that because everyone's going to watch every Taylor Swift video. Everybody is going to watch every Taylor Swift video. And so she can do whatever she wants. She knows she's got your attention either way. She can do tropes, and it can still be okay. But then you can still, like, make it work, because like things become tropes for a reason. It's because they're like cool, and they were cool at a time, and then they got overused, and then like people became like desensitized to them. But like once you're locked in because it's Taylor Swift, you know, you can kind of bring some of that stuff back up and have it be relevant again.
But I feel like the sort of evaluating what you can do in a music video includes evaluating what your resources are and what you can throw in there to make things interesting. And I feel like with a Taylor Swift video, you always have that ace in the hole where you can throw Taylor Swift in there and make it interesting. Mm-hmm. And make things work where with a lot of other artists, they wouldn't work. It's sort of a magic bullet in a lot of ways. So you can put this together. And I think Kyle Newman, the director, did a fantastic job putting this together. But you can count on that glue of having Taylor Swift to hold this together, because she's a professional and she's an international superstar. So, you know, when you throw her on camera, she's not going to have a bad day. I mean, you're going to get exactly what you need.
Yeah, she's going to be Taylor Swift no matter what your idea is.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not going to like walk in and be like, "Well, we shot 12 hours with Taylor Swift today and we got shit." You know?
We got nothing. We got fucking nothing. Can you believe that? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, nothing. We're scrapping the whole thing.
She didn't even know the lyrics. No. Mm-hmm.
That would be weird. Where would you guys say this video ranks with the other videos from 1989? Is this the best video from 1989?
No.
Shake It Off?
There's three, right? There's Shake It Off, Blank Space, and then now Style. And I would put this at the bottom. Still strong thing, but Adam, would you agree?
I would put it at the bottom. Shake It Off would be first, and then Blank Spaces, and then this one. It's good though.
I put Blank Space No, you're right. Shake It Off would be first.
It is interesting that Blank Space is so much more more popular of a video, though.
Is it real? It is. That is interesting. That's odd.
It's fun. It's got the deers, you know.
It's not so much more popular, but they have about the same number of views. Mm-hmm. And Blank Space came out several months later.
Do you guys want to talk about this stupid Ariana Grande video?
Yeah, I do. Let's stick with the big pop stars. Let's go 1-2.
They're more fun to talk about, honestly. because especially Ariana Grande, who I just love.
Seriously, they're just like throwing shit at the wall with Ariana Grande. Like, how should we style her in this video? Oh, what she was wearing to bed? Cool.
Well, this is kind of fun because we'll explain the premise a little bit. It's called One Last Time. This is like the 40th single off of her album or whatever. So yeah, we're digging so deep here. So it's kind of a middling single in a way. Not quite a this or that. And the whole premise of this video is that it's the end of the world. So there's some comets coming down.
Pink comets,
of course. And it starts off with Ariana Grande in a car with a dude, and the dude has a camera, and it's like all like handheld from his perspective as they sort of witness and go through the events of the end of the world, essentially.
What's it called? Cloverfield?
Cloverfield, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like essentially Cloverfield, like Cloverfield plot.
With no Cloverfield monster, though.
No, rainbows exploding.
Right. Is there a rainbow that explodes in this video?
Rainbow explosions. Right. Rainbow asteroids.
Yeah.
They're just pink. They're basically just pink and purple. They're not rainbow.
They're brightly colored, multicolored.
One interesting podcast connection to this music video, though, about the VFX. The opening and closing scenes of like the larger effects were all done by Mike Diva, who was the first guest on this podcast ever. And I thought that was really interesting. Did you see that in the credits?
This definitely had a Mike Diva feel. I didn't look at the credits, but I don't know why I didn't. But I was like, this could have been done by Mike Diva.
yeah, totally Mike Diva.
Also known by
great.
Mike Dahlquist. I think we had him on as Mike Dahlquist.
I don't know. I actually think I don't remember. But
it was a long time ago.
Several years. But it. He goes by Mike Dalgas is obviously his real name, but Mike Diva is still definitely a moniker. So anyway, yeah, this video is weird. You're basically looking at Ariana Grande's back the whole video. You're like following her through these random places that she like for whatever reason
she just wants to get to a roof.
Into. Like it doesn't really make any sense.
She just wants to get to a roof, Doug. That's the entire point of this video. She wants to get to a roof to die.
And the dude shows up. They have to fight off the dude. He's in there.
Oh, so that's what she wants to do. She wants to get to the roof.
From the Big Lebowski. He's in there.
Yeah.
What? The Big Lebowski.
He's like the...
Yeah.
Well, he's supposed to...
He's like the control room operator. And no, it's not... It looks just like the dude. It's not him, but...
John Belushi is definitely not in the Big Lebowski. Steve Buscemi?
No. It's okay.
Who's from Big Lebowski is in this movie?
There's a guy that looks just like the dude. He's the control room operator. They have to fight him off multiple times. He keeps coming back.
But he's not actually him.
Oh my god.
No,
this is terrible.
He looks like him.
This is terrible. What's 50 going times. On here?
So he's not. I don't know if he's a control room operator. He's like a conspiracy theorist kind of guy. I thought that's what I got.
Well, he's sitting in a chair in front of some large screens at one point.
Doomsday prepper.
Yeah.
Sure.
He had like gas and like canned food around him. He's like a big fat weird guy. Like he was definitely not a control room. What fucking control room? What control?
He's sitting in a chair in front of multiple large screens, observing things. That's why I thought that. Moving on.
And at the end, at the end, the guy who's there, our kind of like first person view, puts the camera down. And it goes up to compare this with the previous video, Taylor Swift's Style, where the guy's like like an Abercrombie and Fitch model, basically. This guy is like looks like me from high school. skinny white guy who looks like he's like 16, and he's Ariana Grande's like boyfriend, I guess.
I did not understand this video at all. Like, why this is like, and this is not like a knock on Max Landis, the director, at all. Like, the execution is fine in this video, but like, I do not understand why Ariana Grande. Like, you talk about how Taylor Swift has never been sexualized, but Ariana Grande is. She's wearing like a oversized sweater and jeans in this video, like. I don't understand. Like, yeah, it makes sense within the context of the video, but why are you doing a video where the context, like, has Ariana Grande wearing, like, styled this way, and you only see her back the whole video, and you don't see her face, and she's not singing, and I just don't. And it's not like, I wasn't very compelled by the narrative.
Well, I think it's more driven by the theme of the song, One Last Time. It's an apocalyptic theme. That's why they did it.
What does she want to do one last time, though?
Kiss him? Kiss the baby? Kiss the boy?
Yeah, kiss the director.
The director? That's him. That's Max Landis. This whole video is written so Max Landis could kiss Ariana Grande on film. That's not Max Landis in this video.
So, do we want to do this week in Somebody Stole My Music video? Because this one is very similar to another one.
No.
We don't want to.
Some other one. No. Who gives a shit?
Oh, that's lame. That's lame, Doug. This is important.
All right, tell us about it.
I say newsworthy.
Tell us about it.
What happened?
Okay, so there's this other video that came out last year by an artist named Sophia, and the song is You Are the One. It's directed by Jimmy Ennett, and it's very similar to this Ariana Grande one in more than one way. So basically the video opens with like kind of like some broken up camcorder footage, and then as the video unfolds, we see a girl running in a multicolored apocalyptic scenario to her loved one, who she reunites with at the end right before everything explodes. They're very similar. Very similar, have to say. I didn't think they would be. I thought I would say lame, another one of these. But they are totally similar. So I think it's worth mentioning. Doug doesn't think so.
I don't think anyone has ever stolen an idea from anyone from one music video to another. Ever. Ever. Like, none of the ones that we've ever talked about has ever been a direct, like, why would somebody do that? Like, they just had the same idea and it happened twice or something. Like, whatever. That's cool.
They are similar. Even just leave it as
the videos are
observation
similar. Listen, they are. The videos are similar, and it is a thing. And it stresses me out that this like type of thing happens so frequently, especially for such a dumb video. But they are similar, and like it was a thing. And Max Landis tweeted a bunch about it.
Yep.
Really?
Just in defense, just like. And maybe he deleted it, but like he definitely was like, and then he like put a little button at the end, and he's like, oh, and by the way, here's another video a couple years earlier that's also got this plot. So did you guys rip these guys off?
And interesting. It's
true. And then drop the Max Landis mic.
good on you, Max.
Like I'm also not saying, again, we did this last week, but I'm not saying that this stole that. I'm saying that people have suggested that it is a slight ripoff. So I think it's worth mentioning. They're similar.
They are. And Ariana Grande doesn't need me to defend her. I'm sure she's got plenty of fans who are, but I don't think they stole this video. Like, you know, this idea came from the fact that this song is one last. Like, it's not an original idea, and I don't think they meant for it to be like the end of the world thing, like Cloverfield, like the POV end of the world movie. Like, that's like a genre now. So, you know, stop being dumb.
I think this trope is. It's I feel like there could be a whole book or series of books on this whole idea of like ideas being adapted or like reused, or and I would never, I don't think I would say stolen.
No,
but it's I mean, it happens in every single medium, right? From songs, I mean, Blurred Lines, I think, I can't remember what actually happened with that case, but I think it's still pending. Blurred Lines
and
was
fucking
sued.
Sam Smith and Tom Petty and
yeah,
everything. It just happens because nothing's left.
The Flaming Lips and Cat Stevens. Flaming Lips had to pay Cat Stevens a lot of money.
Every single movie, TV show, music video has a treatment written for it first. And that treatment is full of reference images from other shit. And that, like, gives the idea. And, like, you know, I don't think that in, like, there was probably a Deep Impact picture and an Armageddon picture and a Cloverfield picture, but I don't think Selena's music video from last year was in the treatment for this Ariana Grande music video. I think that, you know, they have a common, both videos probably have a common ancestor, but right, they're not the same species.
But when you think about it, I feel like music videos, and we always kind of like argue for music videos exceptionalism. And I think a lot of the times it's true. And if for this instance, I think it's really true because music videos are one of the only art forms that like necessarily have to start with an elevator pitch for like what the concept is and sort of build on that, or like what like the really main idea is. Because people a lot of times like describe their favorite music videos by like a single line or a single phrase. So I think a lot of great music videos need to kind of hinge on that. So for instance, like the Gotye video, somebody that I used to know, you know, if you ask anybody on the street, hey, do you know the painting where the guy turned, you know, the music video where the guy turns into a painting? And they'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, I know that one. And maybe half of them would know what the name of it is. And maybe a tenth of them would know what the artist's name is. But these are like art forms that, like a medium that gets traded on concepts more than I think anything else, which is,
I think that a large percentage, and I'm not going to try to quantify it, but more than half of the people that have watched the Chandelier video know it as like the music video where that little girl dances all weird.
Right.
Like, like Sia is a big artist to us, and everyone involved in that video is like, you know, fucking royalty to us and anyone listening to this podcast. But like it gets to a point where like, yeah, like you're right, the concept becomes what is the hook, and that's what gets spread the most. No matter how many times Maddie Ziegler performs on every talk show and award show and reality show in existence, like there's still going to be people who just know her as what she's done and not like who she is. And that kind of like is what music videos kind of get reduced to a lot.
Which I think really brings in an interesting element when you talk about quote unquote like plagiarism for music videos, because they trade on really singular ideas. When there is overlap, I think there, and is rightfully so, there is this like really close examination.
And I think that the issue is like there are no core nuts left that nobody's had before. Like somewhere, right? Like even if it hadn't gotten to music videos yet, or even if it hadn't gotten to like music videos in this century yet, like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it could have existed, and it certainly has existed in film before. And what makes them unique is everything else beyond that nut, despite them getting reduced to that, like, so people recognize what they are. Like, the way you differentiate them is all of the other stuff.
So, what do you think we should take a look at next?
I want to... there's definitely two videos that I want to make sure we get to. So I think we should start with the Take Off the Edge by Black Taxi, directed by Carlos Lopez Estrada. You like this video, Adam? Alexander?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Well, why don't you take us through it a little bit?
So this video is sort of a seamless blend of live action and – well, not seamless. It's definitely obvious that they're mixing live action and animation. I think some classic animation. It's similar to what Carlos did in that other video with the fire, which was The Rule from last year.
Sure. Same animator, too.
So basically, we have a couple on a date, and they're wearing these strange masks. And on the masks, the eyes and the mouths are animated. And we kind of just see them interacting, and they dance, and all kinds of other funny little things go on during the video. And
it's sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's masks in reality, but these are meant to be these characters' actual heads, because the animation is their expressions on their faces, right? And so, you're watching this as if these are these characters' actual heads.
Right. And I mean, it's a very cool effect, and you can tell that they're wearing masks. You actually can see their actual faces at points through the nose, which is, I think, how they're seeing.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, there's a couple moments where you can see their actual faces in there when they.
I wonder if they did that on purpose, because they're certainly capable of removing that, and they definitely noticed.
I think
noticed.
They left it in on purpose. Yeah,
awesome.
Totally. It's a cool video.
Where is very that? Cool.
I'm watching for it. I'll keep watching. And
yeah.
So there's a point. I just saw it at 1:48. He opens a door to let her go into the dining room, and he tilts back his head, and you can totally see the guy's face.
That's definitely on purpose.
Yeah,
because he doesn't need to do that.
No,
and they could have covered that. That's so fun.
But I like, you know, it's a cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. So here's a fun little tidbit, and if you didn't look at the cast, you might not know. And I don't credit them. The male character in this video is Carlos, so that's fun. Carlos is a way better dancer than I realized.
Yeah, he's pretty good, and
he's breaking it down.
And James Lees, who's been on this podcast, is credited as the creative director as well.
Right, and Cameron Clark was the animator who was also on this podcast. And there is like a little subtle nod to that the Rule video that Adam Alexander brought up, because the flames on the candles are animated.
Right.
Oh, nice.
On the dinner table at 1:50. And this is a fun video. There's a really fun PG sex scene in this video. Clothes on sex scene. But
with
really,
fireworks.
Really, really great. Yeah, fireworks, clothes on, sex scene. But I love it. It's so good. I love this video.
Yeah, it's great.
And I love this style where I think every time I see this style, I think of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where you have like actual like cartoon elements like interacting with real life. Because like for instance, like they had champagne and they would pour the champagne and the bottle was. You know, actual and real, and then the champagne that would come out is cartoon champagne. So they eventually start, you know, it starts out with just the eyes and the eyebrows and mouth on these heads, and it gets deeper and deeper until, you know, there's a really interesting mix of cartoon elements and real elements. And the sex scene is, I was kind of, not shocked is the wrong word, but kind of like blown away by that, because they don't even take their clothes off. They just start dry humping each other and fireworks come out of their
and those are practical.
I love the little subtle result of the PG sex scene that comes up from the coach track.
Don't spoil it, Adam.
I'm not spoiling it. I'm going to leave it right
I
there.
Love that they have a – that their bed is a pull-out bed, too. It, like, works so well into the dancing. But that, like, we're just, like, meant to believe that, like, there's a couple with this house, but their bed is this couch bed. It's just, like, I don't know why
I thought
like,
that was
really
his house
that.
And she was coming over.
Either whoever's house it is, their bed is a couch bed. And I'm cool with that. But, I, yeah, maybe you're right. Oh, yeah, she does come over. You're right about that.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody... Nobody gracefully opens up one of these beds.
This is as gracefully as you get in this video.
Definitely. And this is Carlos Lopez Estrada's first video, I think, of the year.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, last year in 2014, oh, I guess in 2013 as well, he did some amazing work. I mean, Kangaroo Court by Capital Cities, two clipping videos for Work Work and Inside Out, which were just phenomenal. Oh, and Get Up as well from 2014. So,
yeah.
Really fun start for Carlos Lopez Estrada for 2015.
Yeah, for sure. Carlos is a Grammy winner.
That's right. He won for
Jesse and Joy video.
The Mi Voy video, right?
Yeah, Latin Grammy.
Latin Grammy, right. I've got a Grammy.
Yeah.
For what?
For website development.
Sweet.
One of those sweet website Grammys.
Should we do one more?
Yes. If we're doing one more, then it's got to be Pure.
That's your call. Go for it.
Okay. Would you not go with that? Would that not be the video?
After that, we should talk about the Jack White video real quick, though.
Oh, right. Shit. I forgot about the Jack White.
But let's do Pure, too, because this one's a tough nut to crack.
And I brought this from, and I also pulled this in from last week, so we can skip it if you want to.
No, do it.
I don't think we should skip it.
I love this video.
You have to break it down, because it's crazy. Too crazy.
So, this video is, teeters on whether or not, when I first saw this, I didn't even realize it was a music video, and then I realized that Last Night in Paris was a group, and Pure is a song, and the title of it is Last Night in Paris, Pure. And so there's some interesting things about this. This video was directed by Karim Hoodoo, who also directed the Drake short film that came out last week. Did either of you guys watch that?
Yeah, and that makes they are similar. That makes sense.
They are really similar.
This one's better.
Yeah, I agree. I like this one a lot more. But it also – it makes the Drake – watching this one makes the Drake one make more sense to me. Just kind of like understanding the perspective that film is coming from a little bit more. It makes that Drake film make a little bit more sense to me. But there's also a Drake music video. It's not a music – like the Drake one is more clearly not a music video, I think. But they are kind of – they're very similar. And it's interesting. We had this – music video in the database already from last year. This video last year won the UK MVA for best urban video, but it just released this week last week on the internet. So that's something that's interesting. They let the UK MVAs watch it first, I guess. So
what happens?
So this is like a group, from what I can tell, like Last Night in Paris is all these guys in this video. I'm not familiar with the group, so maybe some of them actually aren't in it. But we're only getting like short little bursts of them. Like it seems like they're making the song. Like that's what it looks like. It like is in production point. And like when they're rapping the lyrics, it seems like it's almost like in mid-production of them making the song that is for this is a video for, and it feels like they're almost like freestyling. So anyway, you see them in like these just really stylized but like real life locations. They're in a house and playing video games, and they're in clubs and you know, stuff that you would see in a film, but it's like really beautifully stylized. And then suddenly they like are in the woods and they reach into a tree and discover this like giant cockroach thing, and it's like you were already in like this reality that this video had established for like several minutes. This is a 10-minute video, so like once you're there, like them discovering this thing isn't as crazy as it's like sounding as me describing it. So they like find this bug and like take this ooze from it.
It's pretty and crazy.
Yeah, that it was a big turn for me.
It's such an unexpected, like, amazing turn. So they eat this ooze naturally, and or at least the one dude does, and then like suddenly like it kind of like shifts, like it quickly jump cuts through a close up on his face to him at like another location at like a party, but he seems kind of like almost extraterrestrial at that point. It's like a crazy like sci-fi moment, and. And then what does the floating come next?
Yeah.
So do the rest of them drink the stuff? I couldn't remember. I watched
At least one other person drinks it, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's assumed that they all start. They all start floating off this bee. The bee excrement.
Yeah. So they all go. Because like what happens is, it's kind of assumed that they're all going out there to drink it, and. Yeah, eventually they're all like floating in the air, and it's but like it's great. Like it's not like it's done in a way that is so like it looks so cool, and it feels so like strangely real. And everything is just so unexpected in this video, and I loved it a lot. It was so good.
Like excerpts of songs, I think. It's not one song, eh? Am I right to assume that?
It does seem like that's what it is. It does seem like that's what it is. And if that's what it is, and we're including this in the database, I'm thinking that the Drake video probably gets included too.
Yeah, because you might have to sneak it in.
Well, no, I mean, just because it's essentially the same thing. The Drake one is titled as a single song from the new Drake album. Like, it has multiple songs, like... The narrative and the songs are woven together in a very similar way. I mean, watching the two pieces by Karim Hoodoo together like really makes them each like a lot more clear. But I really love the style of both of them. This Pure one was a lot more unexpected. Like when I watched the Drake one, it felt more self-indulgent because it was like a 10-minute Drake thing. Whereas like these guys, because I don't know who they are, like me hanging out with them for 10 minutes seemed new, a lot fresher.
And we should mention that Karim Hoodoo had another video out this week, which was actually excellent as well. The video for Apart by Casper Bjork. So if any of you want to see some more from Kareem, you should check this video out too. It's super cool.
Is it? I didn't watch this one. This came out this week?
Yeah. Well, hey, wait a minute. I submitted that one, so that date could be sketchy.
Dude, I've been hearing this guy's name a lot lately, obviously, because of these three things. But I got to check this video out now.
This one is a little bit more of a typical, like it's the full song and it's the regular length for a video, but stylistically, it's similar to the other two.
I wonder if on his Vimeo he's got a longer one, because this video we have on his Vimeo, I wonder if there's like different cuts. I wonder if there's a different cut of this Last Night in Paris video, but man, is it surprising. And the guys are good at it, the dudes in the group. Like it seems really natural. It felt kind of similar to the Because the Internet short film that Hiro Murai did for Childish Gambino, just in like the setup portions of this felt similar to that, because there are moments of them just kind of like messing around with production equipment and playing video games and stuff. But then yeah, this one takes this crazy turn, this crazy like sci-fi turn, but still kind of connects itself back to the music, which is a really interesting which is really interesting. I'm stoked to watch this other video now.
Mm-hmm. It's a goodie.
Yeah, that turn, that moment where he reaches into the tree to grab this big beetle thing, really, like, because that was completely along for the ride. And it doesn't happen, like, the second minute. I mean, it's like 5 minutes into this. After you're fully convinced that you're watching some sort of documentary style, or at least, you know, a sensible documentary style video about these artists. Nothing about it has prompted you or primed you to expect anything other than real life.
And you're like ready to do what, like hang out with these guys, whatever they're doing. Like when they're walking in the woods, you like the video is like so stylized and interesting to watch that you just feel like these dudes are just hanging out in like houses and playing video games and stuff. So they're just like walking in the woods. It just felt like they were going to a place that was just visually interesting. And that's what like makes the turn seem like it makes the turn even more unexpected.
Part of me wishes that this would have been like more of a traditional music video, but I think the format really works well. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the, like, you know, I'm a huge Kanye West fan. I didn't really like the Runaway short film that he did. Whenever any artist releases a short film, even if I'm a huge fan of theirs, I'm not really super excited. I just don't really find that format is good for anything else but really kind of self-indulgent stuff. Well, but in terms of that format, like this is a really beautiful use of it, and I love it.
Yeah, it's weird though. I think part of it is because that we don't know who these artists are. Because we know who, and that's why like the Drake one doesn't.
The Nicki Minaj one,
right? Like, and that's why the Drake one, which is like very similar, like stylistically, the Drake one is really beautiful and it's really like interesting, and it doesn't have these like this sci-fi twist to it. But in terms of like the filmmaking, it's just as strong. But because we know who Drake is, and we know that Drake can actually be self-indulgent, like admittedly self-indulgent, we perceive him doing a 10-minute video short film as that, and you know, because he's shown that he can be that. But that's why I like the context, like reapproaching that Drake movie. Makes it different, and it also makes me think we're going to end up listing it.
I heard that he goes 0 to 100 real quick.
He does. I still really love that album. This is a callback to last week when I was excited about it. I'm still as excited as I was then.
Adam, did you get into the Drake album at all? The new leaked album, not leaked, just the new album.
I've heard a couple of the songs on a new music shuffle, and I like them, but I haven't listened beginning to end yet. I heard Energy. Which I like.
You know what I've been listening to a lot lately? You guys are gonna think I'm a fucking idiot. Is the Nerd SpongeBob song "Squeeze Me"
on repeat? Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like it. It's got a good beat.
There's so many songs you could have gotten a pass for on this podcast. Basically, like 95% of music. You get a pass for on this podcast. And that song you just listed lands in the 5% that you don't get a pass for. What the fuck?
I'm not going to judge you, Adam. Thank you, Adam. I listened to some crap. And hey, you like the SpongeBob NERD song? You like it.
It's basically the only thing that would be weirder is if you listen to like the Kids Bop stuff that we talk about. Or maybe like Christmas Street song now.
Yeah.
You bust out Christmas Street. But even that, like, you're not listening to the Nerd song, ironically, are you?
No, it's good. I like SpongeBob in general, so I like anything SpongeBob. Like, I bet the first, you guys laugh, but the first soundtrack to the SpongeBob movie, the first SpongeBob movie in 2004 was really good. It had like,
it was.
I was in college, and it like had all of the bands I was into. Like in college, it had like Wilco and the Flaming Lips, and like
the Shins,
yeah, and Ween and stuff like that. It was like a complete amazing thing to be into SpongeBob and then have this soundtrack drop with all these songs.
And they didn't just like contribute songs; they wrote songs.
Yeah,
these were like originals. It was good. You're right. I'm backing you.
Listen, all right, look, you. I will admit to falling into this trap that you guys have fallen into because I fucking loved the Rugrats movie soundtrack and the Wild Thornberry movie soundtrack.
Really?
yeah.
Are some good cartoons.
The Rugrats movie soundtrack had that song with Mace and Maya. Do you remember that one, Take Me There?
No,
Take Me There.
I want to go there. Oh, yeah. And, like, I didn't know that was that from that movie. Wow.
Yeah, from and the video had like Mace and the Rugrats, and then the Wild Thornberries has like I don't love that soundtrack, but like I've listened to it a lot because it's got that Paul Simon song Father and Daughters on it or something like that, the one where he's like the chorus has the line like there'll never be a father who loves his daughter more than I love you.
Yeah.
I was gonna sing do a Paul McCartney or Paul Simon impression, but I thought better of it. Anyway, that's a song that's in heavy rotation at the Klinger family house when my dad wants to make my sister feel weird. Or like just try to like be like, Jess, I love you, and like he'll like play that song and she'll get really upset at him. And so there we go.
Well, I'm really old, and I really loved the soundtrack to the 1928 Mickey Mouse film, Steamboat Willie. So that's that. It's my birthday tomorrow. I'm 39, 36, 35.
Wait, how old are you really? Yeah, is it so? First of all, hold on. Is it really your birthday tomorrow?
Yes.
And what is your true age tomorrow? I will say true age is 30.
Yes. I knew you were 30. I will be 35.
So you'll be 30.
At 12:01.
At 12:01.
Eastern time.
So, Adam, you know, Adam, or Doug sent you, he's too embarrassed, but I'm going to tell you this. He sent you that microphone, and it got returned to him this week as return to sender because he fucked up the address.
So, I figured. It's so, okay.
Adam had to know that because he's saying he's been
it took
like
4 months.
Right. Like I said it so long ago. I'm really excited. And another thing me and Drake have in common, because Drake's the youngest something doing it. And I'm also the youngest on this podcast.
You're 16.
Yeah.
My joke didn't work because I can't say the word that Drake says that he's the youngest of.
If you guys want to talk about Drake connections, man, my...
We've done this before. Yeah. Oh, wait, no. That's your connection with Kid Cudi, which...
No. I don't have a connection with Kid Cudi.
Yes, you do. Oh, wait, no. Your brother does.
My brother is born the same day, same year as Drake. And we think it might be the same hospital, but if not, like the next hospital over. So just letting you know.
But what about Kid Cudi?
I don't know. I mean, I've been to Cleveland before. Does that count?
Yeah. All right. So Jack White.
So Jack White released a music video this week for something licorice. Hold on. Let me open it. That Black Bat Licorice from his album Lazaretto, and it is an interactive music video of sorts where you watch the video and you can switch to alternate videos, basically.
They kind of tie into each other?
Maybe. But like the main video is animation, and it's a weird key combination. I think you press E or B to switch. Three or B, yeah, which is they're at awkward spaces on the keyboard. It's tough. You can't do it with one hand, really. And the three is basically all Jack White, and the B is other stuff. You got to watch it to get the gist. But you can. Technically it works really well. It's a really smooth cut, and you can kind of play around with things, and it can look pretty cool.
And there's sometimes like the animation and the live action are the same thing. Like different versions of the same thing.
Adam, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna say, I read someone described it as being like a choose your own adventure. Mm-hmm. Does that have any merit? I haven't. My computer mm-hmm. didn't like it. It almost blew up.
So it's best viewed. Best viewed in Google Chrome or Apple Safari.
I saw that. Yeah.
It is not a choose your own adventure because. There's no adventure. Like there's no adventure. Like in choose your own adventure, like you read something and then you have a choice of where to like take a narrative. There's no narrative in this. You're just like going back and forth, toggling back and forth between three things that are happening, and you just pick which one you're watching. Like you have no control over where any narrative goes. Like the idea of a choose your own adventure is there's aspects of it that you don't see or you don't read because you've chosen the other thing. Like, you're just watching.
I'm really starting to love terrible comparisons. It's like a thing that I like now.
So who said that? That was written on the internet by someone who got money?
Yeah, I read it on like Wired or Stereo Gum or something else.
I watched it a few times and I just couldn't find a narrative. That's the only thing.
There's definitely not a narrative.
And the only thing I was thinking of like is that Jack White he's starting to look a little old. I mean, I know he's not old, but I just like whenever I picture Jack White, I picture him from like the elephant era of the White Stripes.
It's like when Norm MacDonald came out during the SNL thing and you're like, oh right. Because like some of those guys look so old that it's not even close. Like Dan Aykroyd on the
SNL. Dan Aykroyd looks like a sack of rotten potatoes, basically.
It was way better than what my joke would have been. But like Norm MacDonald is still like kind of looks like what Norm MacDonald did. He's still only slightly removed. And so that's what Jack White is. Jack White and Norm MacDonald look the same is what I'm saying.
Keith Richards looked good though. He looked spry.
He's still looking good.
Yeah.
I want to know what Taylor Swift is going to look like in another 40 years. Like when Taylor Swift is, God willing, if she, you know, and I feel like she's going to keep holding on to the fame there. When she's on her, when she's doing her residency in Las Vegas, which Britney Spears is right now, so maybe it won't be 40 years, but another 20 maybe.
Were there a lot of ads for Britney Spears when you were in Las Vegas?
So here's the weird thing. No, actually. Britney Spears was not at like any of like the marquee hotels. I think she was at the Aria Hotel.
Is she still there? She's not there anymore.
She's still there, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And she's still doing the show, but it wasn't like everywhere. It wasn't like the talk of the town, let's just say.
It wasn't at the airport?
It was at the airport, but it was in line with 400 other ads for other things.
Right, next to Penn and Teller.
Yeah, I thought like, I mean, there's a big difference, I think, between when Celine Dion plays at Caesar's Palace and when Britney Spears plays it at the Aria. Let's just say that. So
Who like Celine Dion like
oh yeah, they love
genuinely
her.
Like her. Anyone who's going to go to a Britney Spears is only like half liking her. Like it's kind of embarrassingly, begrudgingly liking her still. It's like, fuck, I do fucking still love this shit. All right, let's go.
Yeah, it's better. At least it's not a Cirque du Soleil, so.
Go to Britney Spears. Like, when you tell people you go to Britney Spears, you always put the word fucking before her name, and you say, I went to fucking Britney Spears when I was in Vegas. That's how you phrase it. So,
definitely.
Fun stand-up comedy bit I just did there.
It's on your comedy CD. It's going to be called "Fucking Britney Spears."
That's the name of this podcast.
So I think we did it. I don't know. I don't have that much to say more about Jack White.
You love him,
other than he's a cool dude who looks like he
anything
has
guacamole
fun.
Related about Jack.
Oh
White,
no, don't say? Even. We're not even touching that. yeah, I think we did it, and. Lots of stuff coming up. Next week, we'll releasing a special new podcast episode. So watch out for that.
New podcast series.
New podcast series. Very, very excited. Commentaries by David Wilson. Again, we talked about at the top of the show, but can't emphasize enough how awesome all of these are. And we did. How much more do we have to put up?
We've got four more still.
Four more still. So that's going to be around...
maybe five. Maybe we might get... And then we might get one more secret one. But we definitely have four more. So putting us at an even 11.
11. That's
prime number.
That's crazy, crazy good. So thank you, David. And you can go see all of them at imvdb.com/commentaries. Adam, you got anything you want to plug?
No, nothing. My birthday.
Nothing?
I'm plugging my birthday.
That's right.
Send me microphones.
Oh, happy birthday, Adam.
You will get your birthday boy microphone. I promise.
Adam, what are you doing for your birthday? Are you going out to... Are you going to one of those restaurants where they sing you an off-brand birthday song?
I'm going to the Chinese restaurant here. There's one. We're going there.
What do you get?
buffet style.
Nice. No, I'm totally 100% on board with that. That is, Chinese food is the perfect birthday food, in my opinion. So.
And Chinese buffet is perfect life food.
It is. Oh, man. Now I'm super hungry. I gotta go. So we will see you guys next week.